Good evening, everyone. I'm going to open us up in prayer, but we're in the purple book. I think it's, is it chapter 10 today? But I'm going to open up some prayer. So, dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We ask you to watch over us, to guide us, to help us with our words, to allow me the ability to expound on what we're learning here and to just present your word the way that it is. Lord, we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. This is lesson one, which is the dangers of wealth. And I got a couple quotes. I like the way he does that. This is from Lord Francis Bacon, 1561 to 1626. Money is a great treasure that only increases as you give it away. And then from Denny and Lisa Balesi, The Kingdom Assignment, said, we can either use our money to serve God, or our God will be our money. And we'll just go ahead and start. This is lesson one, question one, the 1.1 tells you where it's at. But Mark 4, 18 and 19. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10, which gets to question 7. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That verse hits me a lot in that one with the for the love of money. A lot of times whenever people talk about that, they just say loving money, but it's for the love of money. I think it's very important to see the for there. Proverbs 11:4 and also 28 says, wealth is not profitable on a day of wrath, but righteousness rescues from death. Anyone trusting in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Luke 12:15 through 21 says, he then told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, what should I do, since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I will do this, he said. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, on the first one, I had this one, which is just a discussion. All right, we're going to move on to lesson two, Biblical Principles of Prosperity. So I got a quote from Billy Graham. It says, a checkbook is a theological document. It will tell you who and what you worship. And then Brian Clough, which I think the next one tells who he is, it says, money talks. It says goodbye. If you doubt this, answer this question. How much money did I make in the last 10 years? Then answer, how much do I have left? Also ask, how much do I have in heaven? I guess it doesn't. That one was pastor and generosity speaker and author is who that Brian Clough was, that last quote. So Deuteronomy 8:18, listen to question one. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is today. Also, Deuteronomy 30:8 through 10 says, "Then you will again obey him and follow all his commands. I am commanding you today. The Lord your God will make you prosper abundantly in all the work of your hands, your offspring, the offspring of your livestock, and the produce of your land. Indeed, the Lord will again delight in your prosperity, as he delighted in that of your fathers. When you obey the Lord your God by keeping his commands and statutes that are written in this book of the law, and return to him with all your heart and all your soul." I always like that, the way that that was like, make you prosper abundantly in all the work of your hands, your offspring, the offspring of your livestock, and the produce of your land. It doesn't actually say in any of that, which it's a different time frame, but it doesn't say in any of that that that's like actually monetary wealth, numerical value, or money. That's just like the work of your hands. So the way that you, I guess that's kind of the way you make a living. Your offspring, so your offspring will be abundant. The offspring of your livestock will be abundant. And it tells the produce of your land, so you'll be able to eat healthy, and or not healthy, but eat and still provide for your whole family for when you have as many offspring and the offspring of your livestock. But I just think it's neat that that doesn't actually specifically say that it's money. Proverbs 10, 3 and 4. "The Lord will not let the righteous go hungry, but he denies the wicked what they crave. Idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring riches." In Proverbs 13, 21 and 22, "Disaster pursues sinners, but good rewards the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." I've been trying to chew on that, reading the last part of that. It says, "But the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." I had someone that I'm close to that, he was talking about wealth in his family and when someone, an inheritance that's going to be left when someone passes away, and how he's not really sure of their salvation. It's not his decision. It's not his to decide. But he's like, but the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. It just makes me think that, like, there's a reason sometimes you look at someone and you see, like, to not covet someone. That verse helps me to not covet after someone who's more wealthy than I am, because it makes me think, like, that wealth is stored up for a reason. And so, my take on it. More of three is the Proverbs 21:21. "The one who pursues righteousness and faithful love will find life, righteousness, and honor." I think on that one, I believe the answer on that one was, I don't know how to undo that, but I think it's the life, righteousness, and honor on that question, I believe. Proverbs 22:4-9. Proverbs 22:4 is, "Humility, the fear of the Lord, results in wealth, honor, and life." And then 22:9 is, "A generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." Luke 6:38. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. "The point is this: the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for good for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us." In that one, verse 7, "Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver." Last year I had a very good Christmas season doing UPS driver, and I had a very good Christmas season. And all the people who, they know that we make good money as a UPS driver, but they gave monetary gifts or gifts. I got like jackets and different things, but I sent them all a card after I got done that had that Bible verse on it. And I don't know how many people out of that were saved or not saved or anything, but like I just like, God loves a cheerful giver, and just showing that to with the thanksgiving to God through that. I just like trying to actually thank him for that. I really like that verse. I'm going to do a devotion on this one. And it is, in light of worldly riches, let's meditate and pray that we overflow with generosity towards God's kingdom. All right, we're going to get back into lesson three, which is putting God first. Quote from John Wesley, "Money never stays with me. It would burn me if it did. I throw it out of my hands as soon as possible, lest it should find its way into my heart." And that one hit good on that one. I like that one a lot. Then also from Lynn A. Miller, "Stewardship is an act of organizing your life so that God can spend you." Second Chronicles 31, 5 and 6. "When the word spread, the Israelites gave liberally of the best of the grain, new wine, fresh oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in an abundance, a tenth of everything. As for the Israelites and Judahites who lived in the cities of Judah, they also brought a tenth of the herds and flocks, and a tenth of the dedicated things that were consecrated to the Lord their God. They gathered them into large piles." Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine." Leviticus 27, 30 and 32. "Every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man decides to redeem any part of his tenth, he must add a fifth to its value. Every tenth animal from the herd of flock, which passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord." Malachi 3, 8 through 12. "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." "I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine in your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of armies. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies." Discussion for this one. God owns everything. Is there a certain amount we should give? How do you pray when you give? On to lesson four. Extreme generosity. And this is actually my favorite quote out of all of them just because I just like it. O.S. Hawkins, which is a Baptist pastor, says, "The principal hindrance to the advancement of the kingdom of God is greed. It is the chief obstacle to heaven-sent revival. It seems that when the back of greed is broken, the human spirit soars into regions of unselfishness. I believe it is safe to say there can be no continuous revival without hilarious giving. And I fear no contradiction. Wherever there is hilarious giving, there will soon be revival." Luke 21, 1 through 4. Lesson 4, question 1. "He looked up and saw the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. I can testify that, according to their ability and even beyond their ability, of their own accord, they begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints, and not just as we had hoped. Instead, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. I love that. They begged us earnestly for the privilege, the word privilege, of sharing in the ministry to the saints. I heard a preacher preach at a conference that I went to, and he said it's a privilege to be a preacher, and it's a divine honor. And so the word privilege is just really big to me. The devotion, short lesson, sorry guys that it's short, but pray that God give us a heart to be a hilarious giver. I think I was given the short one, and whenever Chris does it, he has the thing at the end where he tries to summarize with the God, man, Christ in response, and I put my own little spin on the giving prospect of that, because it was meant a lot to me to be able to go through all of this, because it's something that I've actually tried to study a lot. But God is the giver of all riches. He is the creator of all. Man gives out of compulsion and with selfish desire. Christ, he gives examples of how we should give. And then the response to that is gives in a manner that glorifies God. So I will close this in prayer for that. And then Robert, if you don't mind leading us in singing, we'll do our normal thing that we do. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time to come back and gather together and read from your word and learn from each other and have just a time of fellowship and prayer and devotion and, Lord, discussions that are just helping build us up. Dear Lord, I know that I've learned a lot, and I thank you for allowing us to know in the Bible where it takes us for giving. Dear Lord, we ask for your protection as we go through the week, as we travel home. Dear Lord, guide us and direct us in all that we do. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.